What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanet.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Tuesday. It's your sports bros, Rob and Sook. I'm Rob. That's Sook right over there.
Right here.
Look at him. Look at him. And there's Ryan Buckley, everybody.
Will Lutz.
Our very own Will Lutz.
Yeah.
Little neurotic, always fixing his hair, what's left of it.
That's Zane Gonzalez.
Oh, that's right. Sorry.
It still throws me for a loop every time I see Buckley without a hat on. It's just an unnatural thing.
Throws everyone for a loop.
Are you a hat at home guy too?
Sometimes.
Yeah?
Yeah. I am. But I tend to always have one around or on.
Now, do you wear loungy clothes at home?
Yeah.
Or do you just wear your daily clothes?
No, I wear loungy clothes.
Do you?
I'll usually be in like joggers or basketball shorts or something like that.
Yeah. It throws me for a loop if you go over to someone's house and they're like in jeans. They're just like
Miller. Yeah, but I know people like that, and it's, I think that's pretty common.
That's odd for you?
Yeah, like if I pop into your house on a Saturday, you got nothing going on, you're just sitting around, you're like, oh, hey, Sook.
I wouldn't be in jeans.
And you're in jeans.
Especially if you haven't been anywhere yet. If you haven't gone to the store or to an appointment, and you're just like, oh, I got ready for the day, and I put on this plaid button-up in my jeans.
My son does it, and it throws me for a loop every
time. He gets dressed. Every day
As if he's
going somewhere?
Yeah, like
even if he doesn't?
He'll come downstairs. He'll be home for like break or whatever. And he comes downstairs, you know, usually around noon or whatever. And he's wearing jeans and like a button up shirt or something, like a flannel. And I'll be like, oh, where are you going? He's like, nowhere. I'm like, what?
I'm just getting ready for my day.
Just getting ready. I'm like, you got
tackling
any?
My day.
I'm like, you got any plans? Like, no. I'm like, oh, that's just that to me is odd. Because if I don't have anything to do, I'll be damned. If I'm wearing pants with a button or like a
belt. You got to be in something comfortable.
Absolutely. I'm even like, I'm wearing joggers and a sweatshirt right now. When I go home tonight, I'm going to change into something more comfortable than joggers and a comfortable sweatshirt.
Like, what would that be?
It's usually a tank top and some form of oversized. In fact, my go-to right now is a pair of Kansas Jayhawk game shorts.
America, yeah!
And they just kind of sit... like on the floor by my bed, and I'll go home and I'll wear those for like 2-3 straight days.
Now
that's the Mr. Rogers. I'm comfortable. I'm going to change into something more comfortable.
I do feel like the comfy clothes oftentimes get shafted on the wash.
Yeah,
you know, because you're like you know,
I wore for a little bit.
Yeah,
they're fine.
I'll wear it. Wear it again tomorrow.
But I'm not wearing them around other people.
Yeah,
it's then just I'll my wife it. Or my best
those Jayhawk shorts will go at least. I'm going to say a minimum. 8 days before they get washed.
Hmm.
Yeah, those are going to be around a while. And the missus will be like, she'll put those in the hamper. I'm like, what are you doing? It's like, those are fine. She goes, well, they're on the floor. I'm like, exactly. They're going to right where I left them.
Yeah. That's where I need them.
I'm coming back
they're
tomorrow.
They're put away.
Exactly.
They don't look it, but they are.
They're there.
All right, well, I'm glad we covered that.
Yeah.
Coming up this hour, what is next for the Steelers? We had that left over from yesterday.
Yeah, Mike Tomlin was talking about that today.
And we will wrap up the college football playoff semis. We haven't even talked about it.
No.
Well, we did. Not. We talked about Penn State, Notre Dame, but
yeah,
we weren't able to talk about Ohio State, Texas.
No.
Playoffs.
That so we'll was Friday. That.
Yeah. And then tomorrow we'll turn the page and get to some Ohio State, Notre Dame talk. Coming up tonight in the club, Buckley has a new die on that hill gripe, and I am here for it. I love it.
Really?
He's pulling a Schultzy.
Oh, but that's a bold
move. Oh, boy, I am.
Buckley, never
I
go,
think so.
Never go full Schultz.
Okay, well, I'm not sure that I went that far, but okay.
Well, it's kind of similar. It's just like, it's one of those things that he is, there is a bee in his bonnet about this, and it's great. And that, it's one of those things that, like, he's really fired up about, like, Schultzy.
Well, I know what you're talking about, and a couple of these instances have popped up because of the time we're in right now, and I'm like, just stop. Stop making it about you and yourself and your,
we'll
your monies.
I'm intrigued.
We also have a story of this is a wheels-off story, okay? So you've got a falconer for a sports team.
A falconer.
I just want you to think about that.
Okay, so they're
a sports team has its own falconer.
Like Auburn would have a falconer.
Sure.
They got probably,
yeah.
Well, he then goes and gets his penis redone, reconfigured, penile implant, I don't know, whatever they call it.
Really?
You would know more about that. And he shares the results of such on internet, and he has now been fired, and so team needs new falconer.
Ah.
That is the story that we will cover.
Well, I'll be damned. You can get fired for that, huh?
A lot going on in Lazio. This is in Italy.
Interesting. I got questions.
I mean, that's a wild story.
That is a wild story. Who knew that who had falconer penis on their bingo card?
Penis enlargement.
I did not. I didn't even know that was a thing.
Well, quite frankly,
let's talk more about the penis enlargement. What?
I've never seen so much dong in my life. Let us know about your experience. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I side more with the falconer guy.
Oh, well, I'm going to need...
That's his own...
I'm going to need details. But you can't, was he showing it?
That's the problem. We're going to find out.
I'll tell you
together.
Right now, you can't do that. That I know.
Well, he did get fired.
Yeah.
So he obviously did something.
I think a rot penis on Instagram probably gets you fired.
I don't have Instagram. Mm. Not even possible.
Maybe TikTok.
Don't have that either. Mm. Right now, though, very sports. The Hot 5 at 5:12. You know what the solution to that is?
Mm.
Touch our penises more often.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
He's going to go get him one of those Milwaukee butter hogs.
Number five.
Ah, man, another dagger from the L.A. team. Sahith Theegala.
Will they ever recover?
Big putt.
And will anyone ever care?
Fist pump.
When does this thing die?
Oh, there's like 8 more weeks of this or something?
Blazers host the Nets tonight. Speaking of dying.
Yeah.
They're 5-point favorites.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
The Nets are bad. They've lost.
Badly.
I read that they've lost 16 of 20.
Yeah.
And 5 straight.
Well,
I don't even know who plays for them anymore.
They're 13-26, so this does have some implications.
Cam Thomas?
Yeah.
D'Angelo Russell. And by the way, they're like all out. Nick Claxton.
Ah, oh, Claxton's still there.
Yeah.
I like him.
Seriously, like their entire roster is day-to-day or out. They're out blazering the Blazers.
Well, DeAndre Ayton is good to go. Jeremy Grant out. Robert Williams, I think you said, is out.
He's questionable with an illness. So is Delano Banton. Boy, also illness.
Nah, I will tell you, the amount of like mysterious we're not playing, it's ramping up for the Blazers.
Dude, Robert Williams is at like 85% clip of the season. He's never in.
It is impossible to keep up. Like, it is a nightly. If you bet the NBA, which I don't, but if you do, how do you even keep up with all this?
Well, and like half the Blazers are out with like minor contusions. The Blazers lead the league in missed games because of contusions.
Big portal news. FBS coaches vote in favor of a proposal that will reduce the transfer window to a 10-day period in January. They are at the coaches' convention in Charlotte. The new window would begin this time next year, beginning January 2nd and run through January 12th.
And we'll see what happens once you try to restrict player movement again and people start suing. That seems to be the problem is anytime someone tries to come up with something for college football, you just get sued and lose. So good luck with that. I have my, and by severe doubts, I mean, I just can't see a way it's going to happen where you have one portal window. Not when coaches can leave whenever they want.
This is now sent to the NCAA Oversight Committee and ultimately the NCAA Division I Council for approval, which is far from a guarantee.
Well, yeah, because they know what's going to happen. They've been losing in courts lately. And by lately, I mean for years.
As expected, Dodgers have a deal in place with Japanese pitcher Roki Sasaki.
What?
Dodgers' over-under win total is now at 104.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Their rotation, I want you to think about this. Their rotation will be Shohei Ohtani, Roki Sasaki, Blake Snell, Yamamoto, and Tyler Glasnow.
That's just stupid.
That's the best five-man rotation I've ever seen.
Yeah. This is like, remember the Phillies had one a number of years ago where they had like all
this
the
ball. This is
Yeah, this is better. I mean, it's like the Braves, like they're laughing at the 90 Braves with Glavin, Maddox, and Smoltz. I mean, this is. Oh, and it's a good thing they don't have any bats. Oh, wait, yeah, they've got a bunch of
all of these.
Hey, the Mariners landed Donovan Solano yesterday. Today, they trade for Cubs infielder Miles Mastroboni.
Mastroboni?
Yeah, he's
all
a Mariner.
Right.
Yeah.
Get
they got
excited.
Him.
God, if you're a Mariner fan and you're just sitting here like, what?
Number two. At this point, it seems like a bit that they're doing. So he hit one.
To hand, and the batter will be Mastroboni.
Yeah, that guy. He hit 194 last year.
Hey, he'll fit right in.
So he's been added to the 40 man. I bet you somewhere Schultz, he's pissed. And I'm here for it. I want to hear it.
Yeah. From Johnson to Hand, and the batter will be Mastroboni.
And then we get to hear at the end about, you know, hey, I thought we made enough moves, 54%.
Colorado coach Deion Sanders issues a short statement on social media saying he has spoken with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys about their head coaching vacancy. He finds it intriguing, but he also loves Boulder and everything about his team. So read into that what you will.
The Cowboys would have to pay about an $8 million buyout. It makes about $6 million at Colorado. My guess is that he's going to ask Jerry Jones for $12 million, and we'll see what happens.
There is a report that the talks are ongoing.
Yeah.
It's very serious. He is one of their top candidates.
Yes, this is not one of those just kind of fly-by-night things. It's interesting because he said that he wanted nothing to do with the NFL, and the players couldn't handle his style, but we're about to find out.
Number one.
And number one, Oregon State coach Trent Bray says that after Keith Hayward stepped away from the defensive coordinator position, that Trent Bray will be the new defensive coordinator.
Trent Bray has all the confidence in the world.
In Trent Bray.
Now, I mean, we do see coaches that are coordinators, mostly on the offensive side of the ball. He said that he's going to look for someone to take over some of the linebacker duties, which he coached. He'll have a co-defensive coordinator. It's not that unusual, but if they don't hire someone called the defensive coordinator, that would be a bit odd. But maybe he doesn't like the candidates out there. Maybe it's a financial thing, or he just wants to take a defense that was very bad in last year and put it in his own hands.
Meanwhile, another portal win for the Ducks as they land former USC offensive lineman Emmanuel Pregnon. He's the number two interior offensive lineman in the portal. He was USC's top guy, and it is thought that he would turn pro, but he did not.
Yeah, second team all Big Ten, and the Ducks have done a nice job. They got two of the better tackles in the portal, the kid from Texas State, and then the Nevada is Isaiah World, who people say are going to be he's going to be a first-round NFL guy. You throw in a second-team All-Big Ten selection, you bring Poncho back. Really, the only spot that's in question right now is probably the other guard spot. If Bedford comes back or not, but all of a sudden, you've kind of rebuilt your offensive line again through the portal.
Victorico's Mexican food is a hit with the whole family. Order in-store, online, or delivered to your door at victorico's.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victorico's. All right, up next, what is next for the Steelers when we return on The Fan?
Ha! Ha! Ha!
How long do you think I could play that?
That's a banger right there.
It is. How long do you think I could do that before somebody turned off the radio?
I think someone already did.
Yeah, you're probably pushing you're pushing the boundaries.
Come on,
right
that's a
that's gold, Jerry. Gold.
How long would you have to do it before you got an email from one of the bosses?
Old gray mare, she ain't what she used to be.
Oh, they don't listen.
Nah.
Well, wrapping up the wild card round, we have yet to talk about what happens with the Steelers. We did talk about what happened with the Vikings.
Yeah.
And I don't know who's further away, the Vikings or the Steelers. Probably the Steelers.
I think the Steelers, probably.
But that's a good franchise. They got a good coach. You know, they got some guys there, but, you know, like Minnesota, they got to figure out what the hell they're doing at quarterback.
Well, they got to figure out what they're doing at quarterback, and really they don't have, I mean, Pickens is really their only viable weapon, and the dude's a moron. Like, you can't.
Yeah, but you got some guys on defense. You got Watt.
Yeah, but it's also the most expensive defense in the NFL, and the most expensive defense in the NFL just got run through, and I mean run through, by the Baltimore Ravens. So I think that's the most disappointing thing if you're Pittsburgh, is you don't have a quarterback. You have an S ton of money loaded up onto a defense that is a good defense. It's not elite. And if you have the most expensive defense in the NFL, it's got to be better than what you showed. And you just, you don't have a back that you feel particularly good about. They didn't pick up the option on Najee Harris. Warren's okay. You don't have a quarterback and you don't have a receiver. I mean, they are.
Well, GM's got to get to work.
They obviously are further behind than I think many people want to believe, including Mike Tomlin. And he came out and said that, you know, he's committed to this. And the problem with Pittsburgh is Mike Tomlin continues to overachieve, and they continue to beat bad teams, win 9 or 10 games, get to the postseason, but they're not going anywhere. They're kind of like what Portland was for all those years in the NBA. They're just good enough, and I would make the argument that being in purgatory is maybe the worst place you can be in the NFL. And I'm not saying I'd fire Mike Tomlin. I think Mike Tomlin's a hell of a coach. And Tomlin kind of scoffed at this, but I would certainly be open to the idea of someone trading for Mike Tomlin to try to go get some draft capital, because I don't know where Pittsburgh goes. I think they are kind of wandering in the desert here a little bit.
I think there are some people that are going to look at this and scoff, but golf.
Well, there's only 6 teams that have 0 playoff wins since 2016.
And they're one of them.
Because the Commies got off the schneid with that win in Tampa.
Yep.
So the 6 are the Raiders, Panthers, Cardinals, Dolphins, Bears, and Steelers. Now, the only difference between the Steelers and on those other 5 teams is that the other 5 have all changed coaches at least 3, if not 4 times since 2016. The Steelers have not changed coaches once. That's what's odd about it.
Yeah. Well, because he doesn't have bad years. He is the definition of a rock solid coach players love, and he's built a great culture there, but
he's certainly not the problem.
No, he is not. But, you know, when you go back and we know that this is a quarterback, driven league. And once Ben Roethlisberger retired, what if they had? And I'm sorry, but Russell Wilson is not the answer there, and neither is Justin Fields.
Kenny Pickett.
Well, Kenny Pickett's not the answer either. I mean,
and he's in Philly.
And
they had him.
They tried, and Kenny Pickett didn't work out. And this is the problem. They have not been able to hit on their Dak Prescott or Jalen Hurts in the second and third round. And they've never really been high enough to draft one of the elite guys in the top 3 or 4 because, you know, they're not a bad team. So I think there's real problems there. And even TJ Watt came out and said that he wants to be part of it, but he said that there are major issues there. And look, Cameron Haywood, I got to look how old he is, but I mean, dude, that dude is long in the tooth. How old is he? So he was born in 89. What does that make him?
70.
He came out in 2011. You know, see, you throw him getting older. TJ Watt, not that young anymore. Queen, not the same player that he was. I mean, and Minkah Fitzpatrick's good. You think you have a good one in Joey Porter there. So, I mean, again, there's some pieces there, but if I'm Pittsburgh, I do think it might be time to rethink the strategy, because I think what you've been doing for the last you know, going on 7-8 years, it's not going anywhere. And if ultimately the goal is to just put a decent product out there, fine. But if your goal is to get over the hump and win playoff games, I think Pittsburgh is a lot farther than anyone wants to admit. In fact, if I was betting futures and you gave me the Pittsburgh Steelers, or I'm going to go look at teams that did not make the playoffs this year, and you wanted to say, where are they going to be in 5 years? I think there's brighter futures for some of those teams than Pittsburgh. And certainly the teams that got eliminated at the same round. You look at teams like the Chargers, you look at teams like the Broncos.
What about Cincinnati in that division? Would you rather take Bengals 5-year futures or Steelers?
Cincinnati all day, every day. And they have their own problems because they have an expensive defense that sucks. Pittsburgh has an expensive defense that's just okay. But you have elite weapons in Cincinnati and you have a quarterback and Pittsburgh does not. So either Pittsburgh has to find a way to do whatever, commit whatever resources to find a way to get a quarterback. In fact, if Pittsburgh had any smarts, what they should have done is what the Rams did all those years ago and make a play for a guy like Matt Stafford.
Yeah.
And that's,
well, they might go get Rodgers.
It's easier said than done, but Matthew Stafford was a long way from Aaron Rodgers when they went and got him. But yeah. You know, it's just it's gonna be a tough hill to climb.
Don't you think Rodgers to Steelers makes some sense if Rodgers is still out there next year?
Yeah, if he's interested. Yes. Absolutely. Because it's
Vikings
You're just not going anywhere. And this is like when they started 4-2 with Justin Fields, and everyone was like, oh no, there is always going to be a ceiling on you, and you just you don't even have anywhere near the team to surround a very average quarterback like that. So, like, they take the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons didn't make the playoffs. I'll take the Falcons' future over Pittsburgh any day of the week. It's not even close. And
I don't know that I would.
I would. I would.
I like. I trust the Steelers org.
Why?
Well, because they're a winning franchise.
Yeah.
You know,
to win 9-10 games.
Well, again, I mean, they've won Super Bowls. So they're not always winning just 9-10 games. They are certainly in that right now, but I just think that's a good franchise that, you know, I mean, they'll figure it out. I think they're smart. And ultimately they kept Tomlin, which is also smart. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've only had they've had three coaches since Chuck Knoll, isn't that right?
Yeah.
Chuck, Cower and this guy.
Yep.
So I think they get it, and hopefully, I don't even know who their GM is, but hopefully they'll make a couple moves here and get back in the hunt there.
I just don't see it.
I just don't think Atlanta. I don't know.
I don't see where they go.
Atlanta just doesn't. They seem to kind of be spinning wheels, even though they have some good young players. But
Pittsburgh needs 1 year of hardcore taking, where they all get together as an organization and they just say, "Hey,
good number one pick
for 1 year. We're going to be dog ass, and we're going to draft a quarterback, and we're going to go from there."
I don't think it's in their DNA, man.
No, it's not.
By the way, that's Buckley.
That's a team that really could have benefited from and give the Rams credit, because they had a quarterback, and they're like, nope, we need to upgrade. Matthew Stafford in Pittsburgh all those years ago would have been an absolute game changer for them.
Buckley sent this. It was somebody that tweeted this, but he was asking, are these hollow numbers, or does Mike McCarthy have an unfair reputation? Because if you compare Mike McCarthy to Mike Tomlin and Sean Payton, boy, you know the reputation difference between those three.
Absolutely.
Here are their numbers. Playoff appearances in total seasons, McCarthy 12 out of 18, Tomlin 12 out of 18, and Payton 10 out of 17. Mm. Division titles, McCarthy 8, Tomlin 7, Payton 7. Playoff win-loss record, McCarthy 11-11, Payton 9-9, Tomlin 8-11.
Yeah.
And they've all won a Super Bowl.
All won a Super Bowl.
So they're the same guy. Why do we hate McCarthy?
I think the idea with McCarthy is that he was propped up by Aaron Rodgers, and he had some of those really awful losses in the postseason when Green Bay really was good. And then it's same thing kind of in Dallas, good regular seasons, whereas I think Tomlin gets the credit because his teams are never that good. And he's like, it's Mike Vrabel was this way too.
Well, but he had Roethlisberger.
He had Roethlisberger, and they won a Super Bowl.
Peyton had Breeze. Like, I don't know about the whole propped up thing, but I get it. Rodgers was a different, he was
and
perennial MVP.
And Peyton, you know, dealt with a lot of cap and bad situations down in New Orleans where he kind of went through the dark ages there. But it's a valid point that Mike McCarthy does not does not get the benefit of the doubt. He is the most hated Super Bowl winning coach that you will ever see, and people just don't give him credit. They do not, they don't prop him up.
Yeah, I heard somebody say about the Cowboys with McCarthy, they said, you know, McCarthy is interesting because when the bar is really low, mm-hmm. he absolutely destroys it.
Yeah.
But when the bar is high, he doesn't come close to it.
Yeah.
And that's very true.
Yeah. And
of McCarthy.
I think when people look at his time in Green Bay, I don't know if anyone looks at New Orleans or that Pittsburgh team and say they should have won more Super Bowls. I guess Pittsburgh was there. You could make that argument. Certainly not New Orleans. You could say New Orleans was lucky to get there one. When you look at McCarthy in Green Bay, it feels a little Atlanta Bravesy that you only got one of those. Those Green Bay teams were really good, and you had the best quarterback in the league that was winning MVPs, and those were loaded teams. And remember, like the Seahawk playoff, like the blown fourth quarter on that. Like, I think that's the one that kind of sticks to McCarthy. Whereas it feels like Tomlin and Peyton get credit for elevating their team. Whereas, like you said, McCarthy, I just think he gets remembered for having elite teams that never showed up in the postseason.
All right, we'll wrap up the college football playoff semifinals coming up next. Here's Buck.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we've got one more college football game, and that's on Monday, which will be right here on The Fan.
I don't think we are on the air.
No, we're not.
I think we're off.
Because we're playing the game.
Yeah.
And it's going to be Ohio State and Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And we talked about the Notre Dame-Penn State game because we were on Friday, the day after that game, but we have not been able to speak about Ohio State getting there and how they got there.
No, which did not happen the way that you thought it would. We talked about that. It's hard for college teams to play three games in a row at their best. We knew that Texas athletically was going to be Ohio State's biggest test. Even want to say athlete for athlete, and as good as Oregon was, Texas to a man is a more athletic team. And I thought Texas on defense had a really good game plan, and Will Howard didn't look like the Will Howard we've seen over the last 2 weeks.
That game did go how I thought it would. I'm the idiot who went 0-2 on bets that mm-hmm. you know, I bet on Penn State.
Yeah.
And I bet on Texas, mm-hmm. both against the spread.
Yeah.
And I lost them both. And yet I'm sitting here thinking I was on the right side of both.
You probably were.
You know, like Penn State,
you were on the right side of both of those games.
Right. Yeah. Like, because Texas is getting ready to punch it in if they can get it in from the effing 1 yard line.
Although there's no guarantee Ohio State doesn't still win by 7.
Sure.
That's true, but I think the way that game was going and the way Texas's defense was playing, if Texas scores a touchdown there, that game ends 24-21 or may go to overtime, screw me yet, but yeah. The point is Texas was able to drag Ohio State into deep water. We knew they had the athletes to do that, and they did that. Mm-hmm. It's just that Quinn Ewers, who is good, he is good for one or two turnovers every game. Yep. He did it again, twice, well, and then Sark, dude, explain to me when you're on the 1 yard line.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a one.
Yeah, one and a half. Whatever.
Why the and Sark's supposed to be like this smart offensive guy?
Yeah.
Why are you running a toss sweep where you throw the ball 6 yards behind the line of scrimmage and run out with the athletes on Ohio State? Like, what? Walk me through what the hell he's thinking.
It's the best explanation I can give for it, right? And that I'm with you. I hate two things in this world when it comes to short yardage. I hate shotgun snaps and I hate pitches because you only need a yard.
Yes.
Why
are you going back five?
Why are you going back further? I don't understand it, right? Tush push, you know, QB sneak, it works. But this will be my defense. I want to double check this, but I believe that the first time they did that, it got stuffed. And if you go back and look...
The first time they did what?
The Texas tried to run it in.
The first play they did.
The first play they
and
did.
And they didn't get it.
And they did not get it. And yeah. If you look back, both Oregon and in the first one, right? When Oregon was going down to try to seal the game with a touchdown, Oregon got stopped inside and held to a field goal, right? Which gave Ohio State an opportunity. It got him the ball back. What did Oregon do? Try to run in between the tackles. When Penn State had the ball inside the one with the chance to take hold of that game against Ohio State, what did they try to do? Run in between the tackles. It's really hard. Ohio State is very stout in there. And so I the only thing I can think of is that when Texas knew that was going to be tough sledding in there, especially when Ohio State is playing their bare front and they've got everyone covered. They can muck it up and they've got big boys in there. So my guess is that when they tried to do that and it got stuffed, I think the idea was that Texas believed that Ohio State is going to sell out and that they thought that they were going to catch Ohio State sleeping and try to get it to the outside. Yeah. That's the only argument that I can make. And a lot of times those pitch plays can work.
Boy, I don't see it very often, even in the NFL.
Especially against a team like Ohio State that does run, and you got a Caleb Downs that can run out there, and you really have to be able to set the edge, and they did a piss-poor job of setting the edge, and lo and behold, you end up from the one, and now you're at, like, whatever it was, the six or seven, and then we know what
happens. There are two plays in football that I just absolutely hate, probably irrationally. One is the toss sweep.
Yeah.
It sucks. It's a bad play.
Yeah.
And two is when they just... hope for a receiver to make a play in the corner of the end zone.
Yeah,
you know, like the fade route. Yeah, the
especially fade route. On a do-or-die play. If you're third or fourth in goal and you're throwing end zone fade, your coordinator's just saying, I'm going to coin flip this
one. Why not? Yeah, exactly.
No!
It's so dumb. But these supposed offensive minds do it all the time. That was maddening that Texas was not able to tie that game. And then, of course, Quinn Ewers, Sawyer.
I'm just shocked. And this is, when it's first and goal at the one, you got to take at least two cracks.
Yes.
You got to take at least two cracks. And then if that doesn't work, then I understand on third down saying, all right, we'll try something different. Whether that's the pitch or not, I'm with you. I don't love the pitch. Some people think if you seal that, and again, when a team is selling out to stop the inside run, and I think that's why you saw it on second down, is I do believe they thought they were going to catch Ohio State sleeping. They did not. And to be fair, Caleb Downs is one of the best safeties in the country. He comes down, blows that play up. And
where is Arch Manning?
Exactly. And they'd done that earlier in the game.
They brought him in and he nearly fumbled.
Well, on that series?
No, I'm just saying earlier in the game when they brought him in to run.
They did.
He got drilled and he almost gave the ball away.
Yeah, but they've been doing that with him all year.
You will never convince me from the Seattle Seahawks on down that when you have multiple cracks on the one, anything other than quarterback sneak or just ramming it right in at least two times, you will never convince me that that's not the right way.
Well, and I've seen it pointed out, too, that even if you try that three or four times, if you turn it back over to Ohio State, they haven't been moving the ball on you. They're at their half-yard line. Yeah. The worst-case scenario, you've got timeouts and you can get the ball back at midfield.
Yeah.
I think I just tried to come up with a justification for it, but... you know, I feel the same way you do. I'm just explaining, I think, why they did it. But looking back on it, there's no reason for that. And then the Sawyer one,
crappy
play by the right tackle, got dumped under, and then he just made an unbelievable play. Strip sack, pick it up, and
Ewers held on to the ball way too long.
Yeah.
But the other thing about the toss sweep is that if it doesn't work, it's not like you get another crack from the one. Now you're at the six or the seven.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense.
I wish I could make it a better argument, and there really just there isn't one.
Goal line offense, because Penn State had a little trouble too.
Yeah.
Against Notre Dame, although they shoved it in with the run, they ran it a couple times.
Yes,
but they got stopped too.
Yeah. You have four cracks.
I know, but it just seems like it's so hard. Like nobody can effing do it.
Well, look, and this is coming from a former O lineman. It's just an awful situation when you're down there and everyone knows what you're going to do. It's just a rugby scrum at that point. And it's a challenge. But four downs, my God. And if you are trying to get on the edge, then, you know, whether that's a jet sweep, whether that's a read option with your quarterback, there's better options.
Yeah, there are better options.
There's just but better
let's
options.
Let's talk about just ramming it in.
Yeah.
There's a drop right there.
You're Texas. Mm-hmm. And I get that Ohio State has studs on the defensive front, but you're Texas.
You're Texas.
You just said when you're an offensive lineman, when you're down there, it's a scrum.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm not getting cute. I'm calling my guys over and saying, effing MFers, you need to win one of four snaps against your guy right here and we get this touchdown. That is it. I'm calling four in a row, win one.
Yeah.
That's all you have to do, and yet they can't do it.
And I think that's probably the thing that will haunt Texas more than anything else is that
stupid.
And I've heard it said that people think that the film study cost Steve Sarkisian. I think Sark got scared by the fact that Ohio State in two of their biggest games came up with goal line stands with teams trying to cram it down their throat.
Yeah.
And I think Sark got scared. And I think he tried to do something out of the box. And, you know, it turns out it was maybe the worst decision that he's ever made as the coach of Texas. And did that lose them the game? No. But
well, look, it was a tie game going into the fourth quarter. And Texas was 1 yard from tying it with whatever that was, 7 or 8 minutes left.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was less than that, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. I think it was only...
like 3 or 4 minutes
Yeah,
left?
It was 3 or 4 minutes. I don't think it was that much. Let me see when that went down.
The most misleading final score of all time.
Yes. It absolutely was. There was... 2 minutes and 13 seconds.
Okay.
So, I mean, that was the
game. Yeah, so that's where I think that Texas covers if they score there.
Yeah.
Because if Ohio State just drives down, they're settling for... They're just trying to get in field goal range,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. But, I mean, it just...
I'll be damned.
That will haunt Texas because they did enough. They slowed down Ohio State. They did an amazing job. One, they have the best corner in the country. He didn't shut down Jeremiah Smith. They ran bracket coverage on him. He got two or three guys rolled to his side all game. Which, by the way, can I point out, if you're one of Tennessee or Oregon, like maybe think about that. I mean, look, this is one of those, like, I'm not trying to throw shade at anyone because I'm not in the coach's room and I don't have... I don't have the all 22. I don't know what the game plan was, but I will say that Texas had Barron, I forget what his first name is, but Texas has the Jim Thorpe Award winner, the best corner in college football, who will be a top 12 pick in the NFL. And they gave him safety and nickel help over the top of Jeremiah Smith, basically all game. Maybe. That was a good plan. Like, I understand, like, you can't, like, focus all your attention, but I just think it says something that a team that's that athletic and that good in their back half spent that much time trying to take away one player. And by the way, it worked. He was a non-factor in that game.
Yeah, what did he even have?
Almost nothing.
Almost nothing. No, and it freed up some of the other guys.
It's like one catch for 3 yards or something.
One for three, you're right. Oh, man.
And that freed up, you know, Tate had a decent game. But in Emeka Ebuka, but I'll tell you what, I'd rather live with that than watching Jeremiah Smith, you know, put up 180 yards and a couple tutties on me in one half. So I really thought Texas came up with a sharp game plan, and it just wasn't enough.
It was a compelling game.
It was.
And that leads us to Ohio State Notre Dame Monday,
which needs to be the same sort of game. Notre Dame's got to find a way to muck it up.
Well, I don't think anyone has any faith in Notre Dame.
I don't think
because,
so.
Because, I mean, they're banged up beyond belief, and they don't really have that great of an offense anyway.
No, their 1-0 lineman that went out, at least the tackle, they've ruled him out. He's done.
Well, and they just, I mean, if you look at how they got there, like, I don't want to take anything away from them. I really don't.
Yeah.
But we got to call the spade a spade. Drew Aller had the worst game of any quarterback ever, not named Sam Darnold, or else they lose.
Yeah.
And what was the other one? Who'd they play before that?
SMU, then Boise.
Yeah.
No, that was Penn State.
You're talking about Aller,
Notre Dame. Please try to pay attention. I'm talking about Notre
Georgia?
Dame. Georgia? Oh, Georgia. Yes, Georgia.
Backup quarterback.
With their backup quarterback.
Yeah.
You know. And then before that, they got Indiana. They're just better than Indiana.
Yeah.
But that wasn't. I mean, they had a 99-yard touchdown run. Otherwise, I mean, that was That probably should have been worse than it was.
It did feel like the Texas-Ohio State game was the national championship.
Well, not even close.
So,
no, but that's that being said, I don't want to, and we'll talk more about Notre Dame-Ohio State tomorrow. Notre Dame, all they do is drag you into mud.
Yeah.
They're great at that, yeah. And their defense is really good, so I'm not counting them out. But, I mean, I don't know. This bracket was funky this year. It's weird. It's a weird year in the college football playoff. I loved every minute of it, but this final... It
feels
the real
a little
final.
Anticlimactic, and it kind of feels like last year where Washington was a good team. We knew who the better team was, and it bore itself out, and I think you're going to see that. I'm with you.
Except you don't have Michael Penix.
No.
Notre Dame.
You have Riley Leonard. You have God, though. You got Jesus. And Jesus is having a big moment in this postseason, so.
Yeah, he's rising up.
Yeah. Does Ohio State have Jesus? Is there anyone on their side?
Well, Will Howard seems to be pretty...
Yeah, he's a Jesus guy.
They have Bucknut, the fan, you know?
Yeah. But, boy, I'm telling you, Notre Dame's leaning hard into that.
Is Ryan Day going to be a national champion?
Yeah.
Is Chip Kelly going to be a national champion?
It's
going to
shut a lot of people up. And then we're going to just get the, oh, you weren't born on third base, dude. You were born halfway home.
Shut up.
Give me, say what you will.
Hey, will you shut up?
Give Ohio State credit.
100%. They were left for dead.
Got their think about this. They lose a heartbreaker in one of the toughest environments to play in college football at Oregon. And what do? They revamp their entire defense based on that. They lose two All-American offensive linemen and have another one go down, reshuffle their O-line. And then they lose an absolute soul crusher to their arch rival. Cost himself a shot in the Big Ten title game. Ryan Day is going to get fired. Fans, the fans aren't showing up to the game. 30,000 Tennessee fans show up. No one has any faith. And they dog walked Tennessee, who everyone thought was this great SEC team. And then here comes Oregon, the number one team in the country, dog walks Oregon. And then they play a deep water game against a team as athletic as they, and they come up with a big goal line stand. I mean,
not even that, just the play by Sawyer.
Dude, they just
the fumble return.
Say what you will. Give Ohio State, if they finish this thing off, all the credit in the world. And if Notre Dame finds a way to do it, build the damn statue of Marcus Freeman, because that is one of the biggest upsets that I can remember in a championship game if Notre Dame pulls this off.
Talk more about that tomorrow and later in the week. We'll wrap it up next on The Fan. Hey, a little tease ahead for tomorrow. We were talking about Ohio State, Notre Dame. Did you know? I didn't know this until Buckley brought it to my attention. Did you know that Ryan Day and Lou Holtz have major beef?
Yeah, I do remember this.
I kind of forgot about it, or scrubbed it.
He called him soft or something.
Yeah, we'll get to it tomorrow. We have audio and it's great. Ryan Day absolutely hates Lou Holtz and it's wonderful.
I don't know if there's a man that I can't say that I ever thought much of Lou Holtz, but I always considered Lou Holtz probably he was a lovable kind of old, it's Lou Holtz.
He was a good coach.
I can't stand Lou Holtz. I think that guy is a great
I don't get a brain man cold, but
he's an old white guy.
He just, yeah.
How old is he now?
He's got to be in his 80s, right?
I don't know. I asked you.
I'm going to say 80.
I want you to have that information.
I'm going to say 85. Oh, 88.
Bah.
Lou Holtz. Every time
he gets made fun of a lot for his lisp.
Yeah, but I love it. And I just used to think he was adorable. But every time he opens his mouth, I think something ignorant, probably a little mildly racist and uncomfortable comes out of it. He's just not my cup of tea.
Yeah, he's kind of exposed himself over the years.
Yeah,
When you start to learn who these people are.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't like it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what happened with Sweet Lou.
That's me with Lou. And
he was really nice to me. Remember, I chased him down at midfield at the
National Championship. Yeah, it was the Ohio
Which
State.
Which one was it?
It was the Ohio State Oregon National Championship.
Was it?
Yes, it was.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
Glendale or Dallas?
That one was in Dallas.
Dallas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw him at midfield and I had my little. I was a little sports reporter, had my little tape recorder on me, and I interviewed him about the game.
Yeah, I wanted to play the fun game of what does Lou Holtz smell like, and you said exactly the way he looks.
Yeah, leathery.
Yeah. Old Lou.
But he was really nice to me. So. Yeah.
And to say, and by the way, Lou Olds may be a good man. I just...
Well, he could have been a real jerk.
Yeah.
Because it was late and he was trying to get out of there.
And he may be a sweet man. I just, he's just not my, he's not my cup of tea. But I can't say that he's a bad guy.
Do you think he listens to the show and can't stand you?
My guess is that me and Lou probably don't see eye to eye on a lot of things, but hopefully we can find some common ground. You know, you can find common ground with a lot of people. If you,
your love of America.
I'm not certain that our America is the same, but yes, the love of the country.
All right. Well, we'll get to that tomorrow. I've got some audio. It's great. If you ever want to see Ryan Day go all high tea, which is, as we've talked about, it's kind of odd, you know, when he goes all high tea.
Oh yeah.
Because he's, I don't know, he's just not that kind. I don't know. It doesn't really work for him.
I wonder if that just, if all of that goes away, if they win this, I still don't think people are going to give Ryan Day any credit. I really don't.
Well, they might not. Whatever. I think, doesn't care.
They're just going to say it's the most expensive roster ever built and blah, blah, blah.
But anyway, if you really want to hear Ryan Day go all high tea, puff up a little bit.
I do.
You're going to hear that tomorrow.
Maybe the highest tea I've ever heard him.
Yeah.
He's ever
he
been,
does not like Lou Holtz at all.
Yeah. He's got beef with an 88-year-old invalid.
That's right. That's right.
You take shots at Lee Corso next.
Well, is Corso a Golden Domer?
Maybe no, he's Corso Indiana. Golden Soft.
Yeah. I do think he picked, he picked Notre Dame, not against Ohio State, but he picked him because remember he was dancing with a leprechaun and damn near broke his neck.
Well, I don't know. I think it's funny how Lou Holtz calls him soft, but like the whole country does, but he picks Lou Holtz calling them soft as the real problem, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you can't you can handle everybody on all the talking head shows.
But Lou Holtz.
Calling you this, but when Lou Holtz says it, you just get, you're livid. It's weird. It's a weird flex.
I do remember when that happened, though.
We'll get to that tomorrow. Up next is Club 1080. We'll start with Buckley's newest Die on That Hill gripe. And then
Full Schultz.
We have the Falconer fired for the...
In Springfield...
Whoops. Sorry, that was a misfire. the Falconer fired, Team Falconer fired for the oddest of reasons. Something Big Sook will likely be fired for soon.
I'm intrigued by this story. I got to know what my future holds.
That's next on The Fan.